welcome to the Australia Day edition of the VK7 Amateur Radio News. This was first broadcast on Sunday, January the 26th, 2025, and we bring you the latest from the world of amateur radio in VK7. This week, joining you from the news desk is Nick VK7 Whiskey Whiskey. Tune in as we share updates and insights across VK7, broadcast through an array of platforms and frequencies on DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector 91C, managed by Gavin, VK7HGO, on medium and high frequency rebroadcasts, thanks to our dedicated operators, 1.862 MHz by Any Takers, 3.670 by Ross, VK7ALH, 7.140 by Gary, VK7JGD, 14.130 by Any Takers, and 28.525 by Any Takers, and UHF CB channel 24 in the Hobart area, hosted by Mark, VK7FMAC. If you missed today's broadcast, then you can catch up on the replay on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in Northern VK7 and VK7RHT and UHF CB 24 in Southern VK7. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the broadcast. Tasmanian amateurs will be saddened to hear the passing of long-time club member of the NWTARC, Ursula Roos, on the 11th of January 2025. Ursula obtained her amateur license in 2010 and with her partner Bob, VK7 Mike Golf Whiskey, Silent Key. They were very involved with the club, assisting with endurance rides, Rally Tasmania and JOTA events. Ursula was very active in the club as the club's secretary and used to host meetings at their QTH and even one of the club's Christmas parties at their QTH. Sadly missed by her family and friends, Vale Ursula. That's from Eric, VK7 Echo Victor, the news officer for the Northwest Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club. VHF and above field day wrap up. Statewide news. In the Northwest, we received a report from Eric, VK7EV, how a group in the Northwest went again to the Round Mountain Lookout on the side of Mount Claude, 663 metres high, near Sheffield. They were active on 6, 2, 70 centimetres, 1.2 gigs and 2.4 gigs, and operated as a multi-operator station under the call sign VK7NW. The assembly of the station was by Mark, VK7MAR, and Andrew, VK7XR. Eric was supervising and bringing up some of the radio gear and antennas. They had a great day with 69 contacts and made contacts into Victoria on only 2 watts in the 2.4 gigahertz band. Eric got to try out his 10 watt 1.2 gigahertz radio, talking to Frank, VK3ZO, using an identical radio, who was on Mount Arawatta in Victoria at 280 metres high and 345 kilometres away. This year, it was no longer sitting cramped in cars, but a large gazebo, kitchen sink, tables, chairs and a fridge, and 3 masts to mount antennas on, and oodles of battery power. Eric was amazed to see how many locals and tourists stopped to chat and see what they were up to. They had a stunning view of the coast and around to the south. Operational at midday and pulled up stumps at 6:30, having had a great day. In the north, we received reports from Lionel, VK7ZLB and VK7PD, both portable. Lionel embarked on a portable operation halfway up the northern face of Mount Arthur, about 520 metres elevation, for a 24-hour single operator contest. This ambitious field day effort involved constructing a complete station to maximize performance and outcomes. The setup process began on Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. and was completed by Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Lionel's equipment included homemade antennas and components such as 6-meter 2-element Yagi with 50 watts, a 2-meter 8-element Yagi with 100 watts, dual-element, dual 10-element Yagis case for 70 centimetres with 75 watts and a dual 21 element Yagi for 23 centimetres with 25 watts and a preamp. Radios used were an IC9700 and an IC7300, with all antennas and power dividers custom built. The operation resulted in approximately 170 contacts and over 100,000 provisional points. Lionel logged 27 contacts on 6 metres, 75 on 2 metres, 45 on 70 centimetres, and 23 on 23 centimetres. The highlights included a 494-kilometre contact with VK3ER portable on 23 centimetres for 1,828 points and a challenging 805-kilometre contact with VK2GX on 2 metres for 702 points. The furthest contact was 888 kilometres with VK2DVM on 2 metres, whilst the easiest was a local contact with VK7PD on 2 metres at 23 kilometres for 23 points. Despite no sporadic E contacts on 6 metres, unlike 2024, and narrowly missing a 70 centimetre contact with VK2DVM due to weak reception, the operation was a success. Lionel plans to incorporate a 70 centimetre low noise preamp to enhance future performance. Peter, VK7PD, went portable at the Notley Hills and provided the following report. In 2010, during a QSO with Ken, VK3AKK/NW, he's now a silent key, Peter learned of a long-standing frustration among Southern Victorian hams who operated hilltop stations during VHF-UHF field days, but rarely heard a VK7 station. Motivated to change this, a few operators, including Peter, VK7PD at Notley Hills, and Peter, VK7KPC at Table Cape, set up portable stations for the summer field day of 2010, and while they didn't submit logs, they successfully provided their VK3 counterparts with much-desired contact. Over the years, the number of participating operators and bands has grown significantly. On January the 18th this year, at least two portable stations operated on 8 bands from 6 metres to 3 centimetres, supported by other portable and home stations. In the northeast, VK7MAT activated Mount Horror on 2 metres and 70 centimetres, while VK7ZLB operated on the 4 bands from Mount Arthur. VK7's AAJ, AJP, using the call sign VK7TAZ, and VK7PD were active on 8 bands from White Hills, primarily to contact VK7's ZMS and VK7ZBX on Mount Wellington. Now, these stations successfully exchanged numbers with VK3 operators and other VK7 stations, further enriching the contest experience. Field days continue to play a vital role in exploring microwave propagation paths that are often impractical from home QTHs, enabling mountaintop to mountaintop contacts over extended ranges. Beyond technical achievements, they embody the principle of enjoying the outdoors and having fun, as emphasized by the contest manager, Roger Harrison. Photos of this year's portable setups can be found on the VK7 Amateur Radio Facebook page. In the south, we received reports from Phil, VK7ID portable, and verbal reports from Murray, VK7ZMS portable, and Richard, VK7ZBX portable. Phil, VK7ID, operated in the 8-hour rover category, alternating between two locations at South Arm. Phil was active on all bands from 6 metres to 9 centimetres and even 3 centimetres. He did have a faulty triplexer and failed 23-centimetre amplifier and had mistakenly mounted the Shepherd's Crook feed on my new 10 gigahertz build in the wrong polarity. Phil managed to MacGyver up solutions for most of the issues and had a great day in the sun. Contacts were down for Phil compared to previous events due to a lower than usual number of locals participating and lost time due to issues. Many thanks to Rex, VK7 Mike Oscar, who took the time out of his day with Phil to work on the 10 gigahertz issues, as well as Tricky, VK7 ZBX, and Murray, VK 7ZMS on the mountain, who are a solid S9 plus both ways, despite their dish pointing directly into the rocks, and the rocks didn't even melt. Murray and Richard were in their impressive field day van, operating on all frequencies between 6 megs, 6 meters, I beg your pardon, and 10 gigahertz. Highlights included 2 meters, 70 centimeters, and 2.3 gigahertz contacts into VK3. Comment was made that we need to better understand the 5.7 gigahertz band where the new SG Lab transverters are being used. There are at least 6 stations in the south using 5.6 gigs. However, the results were mixed. There was a great interview with Murray and Richard on the Wednesday's Experimenters group stream that can be found at the link on the email edition of the broadcast. Thanks to all who participated, submitted reports, and please remember to put your logs in. That's 73s from Justin, VK7, Tangled Whiskers. Now, the SSTV nights. Well, it was a quiet night that saw the following participants, VK7s, ZGK, ZAB, and AAR, all sharing 7 photos. The highlights were the Super Pit at Kalgoorlie, Western Australia, one of Australia's largest open-cut gold mines. A YL, as a size comparison, steady lads, to one of the mine's haul trucks. A veteran car from the 2024 Tassie Tour, a T-model Ford runabout with a small van back. A rural scene of Tasmania, and 73s from a kookaburra on a Lora bird perch. Note, Ken, VK7KRJs, and Steve's VK7OO's fully automatic 24/7 monitoring sites allow anyone who has sent an SSTV picture the ability to check them on their pages almost immediately at any time, both south and north Tasmania. If you miss the net, there are archives of these SSTV nights. These photos can be seen on Ken and Steve's SSTV websites or on NTARC's website under blog. Please remember to use your own photos and those that are copyright free. And that's 73s from Andre, VK7ZAB. You're listening to VK7WI, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. Now, news from the Northwest. The Northwest Tasmanian Amateur Radio Group is having its annual general meeting. It'll take place at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, the 1st of February, at their usual venue, the Scout Hall, 73 Alexander Road, Ulverston. The ordinary business of an annual general meeting will be to confirm the minutes of the last preceding annual general meeting, to receive reports from the committee, the auditor, employees, and other persons on behalf of the association during the last preceding financial year, to elect officers of the association and ordinary committee members, appointing the auditor and determining his or her remuneration, and the remuneration of employees and other persons acting on behalf of the association, to appoint the public officer either from the committee or general membership. All current office holder committee, auditor, and public officers' positions fall vacant at the AGM. So nominations for each office bearer and the committee members are invited and should be made in writing to the secretary and delivered to the secretary at least 10 days before the day on which the annual general meeting is to be held. The nomination is to be on the NWTARC nomination form along with the signatures of the nominator, seconder, and that of the member nominated. Appointments will also be required for the positions of auditor and public officer. You will need to have paid your 2025 membership subscription to be able to vote at the annual general meeting, and also before people can be nominated or nominate or second somebody for office, as only financial members can nominate or be nominated. The AGM will be followed by the February general meeting, after which afternoon tea will also be held, and members are still encouraged to bring out their items for show and tell, and the club rooms are open until 6 p.m. For members to socialise. A small plate of afternoon tea would be appreciated, and we have single package tea, coffee and sugar, and disposable cups for members and guests. Visitors are most welcome to attend, but if you have any cold or flu symptoms or are unwell or have been in contact with a confirmed COVID case, please don't attend the meeting. 73s from Eric, VK7 Echo Victor, news officer for the Northwest Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club. Now, news from the North. SOTA WWFF Parks Group. The Summit on the Air, Worldwide Flora and Fauna Parks Group, meet twice weekly. That's Mondays and Fridays, 10:30 a.m. till 12 o'clock at the Glebe Gardens Cafe, Henry Street, Launceston. Now, for more information, contact Al on 0417 354 410. 73 is from Al, VK7AN. Northern Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club Incorporated. The club technical night had its first get-together for 2025 last Wednesday night. It was very well attended, with eager members swelling the numbers even before the normal start time of 6:30 p.m. There was certainly a lot to catch up on amongst the members after the Christmas break. I'll pass it over to Idris, VK7ZIR, for a bit of a rundown on the evening's technical side of proceedings. Cast your mind back to the first statewide SSTV night for this year on the 4th of January. One of the standout images was that of a 3D printed 40 position holder case designed for SMA sized adapters. Well, true to his word, Colin, VK7ZCF, brought the actual holder into the club for inspection. Also, the 3D printed box to hold some of his 10 watt dummy load attenuators. Yet another very piece of 3D printed workshop accessory. Colin also brought in two other projects that he's now finished, and these required metal machining of mainly scrap materials to integrate with the main purchase parts. And we've been following the progress of these projects over the last few months on Club Room Technical Nights. The two projects were a portable 2-meter antenna on a photographic tripod with detachable radials, an HF antenna with 5.2-meter telescopic antenna, heavy-duty antenna base, an aluminium disc for attaching counterpoise wires, and a clamp from a truck mirror mount to attach a ground stake. Well done, Colin. These generated much interest. Ian, VK7IG, brought along a USB cable tester and a USB power meter that he purchased from AliExpress. The cable tester was from Tree Dix and was a palm-sized unit with the full array of all types of USB and lightning connectors duplicated on both sides of the box. It was easy to use. Just plug in a cable and whichever socket was appropriate for each end of the cable. The board had an LED for each of the pins of each connector. For easy interpretation, the pins did not use numbers, but the signal functions descriptions like earth, data receive, plus and minus, etc. The LED lights show continuity is okay, and the unit could be powered externally or from the internal button battery. The other device was a USB digital tester, model J7C. This was an inline power meter with both USB 3 and C inputs and outputs. It had a small but easy to read color OLED display. The display was multi-page so that the voltage, current and power could be shown numerically or as a graph over time. Being designed for the latest USB-C standard, it could measure up to 32 volts and 8 amps. Also, Lionel brought along an RF power splitter he had made for use on the recent summer VHF and above field day. It was a T-type arrangement of three panel mount end sockets with an accurately cut length of coax. The splitter was required as he had built a second UHF Yagi and needed to connect them as a phased pair. Lionel then gave everyone a slideshow presentation of his latest setup for the summer field day. All antennas were Yagis on a single mast covering the 6 2-meter plus 70 and 23 centimeter bands. The mast was strapped to the handrail of a deck and using the Armstrong manual rotator method. The mast and some of the Yagis were made multi-section so they could be disassembled and carried in the rear of his compact hatch. Thanks, Lionel. It appears he had a busy weekend with lots of contacts. Thank you, Idris. No doubt the night was the start of another interesting year. Now, pictures will be available on the NTARC website under blogs for this broadcast. Blog 3 NTARC Inc. Now, back to the housekeeping. The AGM of NTARC is getting closer, so please give some serious considerations to any nominations you'd like to make for the new 2025 committee. Please note, for your convenience, there is a nomination form available on the NTARC website, www.ntarc.net, and printed forms are also available at the club room. Once completed, drop them off at a technical night or Friday morning tea, even scan the completed form and email it to the secretary at ntarc.net, and send the original to P.O. Box 275, Launceston 7250. They must be received by the close of business Friday the 7th of February. Club members members are reminded that they will need to be 2025 financially current to be able to nominate, be nominated, or vote at the annual general meeting. Now, that's all, folks. 73s from Stefan, VK7ZSB, Secretary, Entark, Inc. You're listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. Now, news from the South. REAST, the Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania. Join us for an engaging and interactive REAST Forum night on February the 12th, 2025 at 7:30 p.m. held at the Queen's Domain Clubrooms and streamed live via the REAST YouTube streaming channel. And the topic, how do you get friends and family involved and interested in amateur radio? It invites all members and visitors to explore practical ideas and share experiences about introducing the joy of amateur radio to those closest to us. Whether you're looking for tips to spark interest in the hobby or want to share your success stories, this forum provides the perfect platform. With a mix of practical discussions and real-world insights, you'll leave inspired and equipped to grow the amateur radio community through your friends and family. Don't miss this exciting opportunity to connect and contribute. See you there. That's from the REAST committee. The humongous amateur radio car boot sale. What a wrap-up. The weather was perfect, the barbecue fired up and snags, burgers and soft drink flowed, and there was money and equipment changing hands at a pace. They had 10 sellers with large stands and car boots that were doing a swift trade, and it was great to see some sellers and buyers who had travelled all the way from the north. There was significant redistribution of amateur radio treasure during the day. We sold at least 11 8.1 metre aluminium masts and still have a good number for sale. It seems that everyone who bought a mast was using the amateur adage that is used after storms. If your antenna is still standing, then it's not big enough, as they all bought 8.1 meter and not 5.4 meter masts. Hi. So we will be converting our 5.4 meter masts into 8.1 meter mast kits for the remaining masts. If you're interested in getting one for the princely sum of $40, then please contact the club, REAST at reast.asn.au. And a big thank you to all the helpers throughout the day, and a special shout out to Tony, VK7VKT, who was our executive chef on the barbecue plate. 73s from the REAST committee. Wednesday's Experimenters Night. Last Wednesday night, we started with a blast from the past and some Dick Smith Electronics Funway kits with Ben, VK7BEN, and Justin, VK7TW. The first was a Funway 2 broadcast FM transmitter, and we took a look at the very nice handmade case and circuit diagram. We then moved to the Dick Smith Funway 2 Universal Timer Kit and the Dick Smith Pocket Com 2's mini handhelds on 27 MHz. The Electronics Australia VHF UHF receiver kit from January 1990, which was then featured, and then the advanced kits from EA, Electronics Australia 2-meter transceiver kit called the Dick Smith Commander. Thanks, Ben, VK7BEN. Justin then went through a recent car boot sale purchase in an ARDF and sniffer box Mark IV designed by Brian, VK3YNG. Hayden, VK7HH, then brought along a portable temperature controlled soldering iron that connects to a standard cordless power tools battery. Thanks, Hayden, and you'll find a link to that on the text edition of the news. For VHF and above field day wrap up, we got Richard, VK7ZBX, and Murray, VK7ZMS, and their field day van exploits into the studio. Highlights included Mount Wellington 2.3 GHz and 23 centimeters contact to the mainland. Murray and Richard went through some of the recent innovations and how they found their new 5.6 GHz transverters. Yes, this is definitely a work in progress. They finished up with some EME experiments that Richard had been doing. That's Earth, Moon, Earth. Finally, there was a space weather report training course course, and future events information shared. This week, more hysteric electronic kits, fun semi-auto keys, Arduino keyers, SOTA and IOTA activations, light LiPole battery packs, and much more. And on a Wednesday night, people started arriving at the night around 6 p.m, bringing their dinner to enjoy. There is always much discussion, experimenting, playing, drinking coffee and tea, serious cunning plan development, and general amateur radio shenanigans, and world problem solving in the club rooms as well. That did take some time. We streamed the nights on the Reist YouTube streaming channel, and we got out on RFDVBT, 7 megahertz standard definition on 445.5 megahertz. So if you have a TV, set-top box, or USB DTV dongle that you can tune and scan 445.5 megahertz, and you can see the Queen's Domain, then you have a very good chance of receiving the DATV Experimenter's Night signal. Look out for VK7OTC. See you there or on the stream. That's 73s from Justin, VK7TW. Now, regular VK7 gatherings and events over the coming months. Sewing Circle Net daily on 3.640 megahertz commences at 6:30 p.m. Statewide SSTV Net every Thursday night via the North-South link on VK7RAF, VK7RJG from 7:30 p.m. In the North and Northwest, VK7RJG on 438.55 with a minus 7 megahertz offset. And in the South, VK7RAF on 146.650 with the minus 600 kilohertz offset, but with a CTCSS tone of 141.3 to link the RAF North-South. Statewide Microwave QSO Party follows the Sunday broadcast on 1296.15 megahertz FM. One group in the Greater Hobart area and another in the Greater Launceston area. Then North-South Digital Contacts on 1296.2 megahertz using Q65-60B. Stations in the Launceston area transmitting on the odd minute and Southern stations on the even minute. SOTA WWFF group meets Mondays and Fridays 10:30 to 12 o'clock midday at the Glebe Gardens Cafe, Henry Street, Launceston. NTARC Clubroom Technical Night Session, Wednesday the 5th of February from 6:30 p.m. at the Club Rooms, Archer Street, Rochelle. NTARC Testnet and TechNet Sessions, every Wednesday night. Testnet and CW course on 3580 from 7 p.m. to 7:30, and a TechNet on 3.567 megahertz from 7:30 till about 8:30. NTARC Coffee Meetings mornings are held every Friday in the NTARC Club Room. Time is from 10 a.m. to noon in the Rochelle Club Rooms. Northwest VK7, Wednesday from 8 p.m. local time. The Amateur Repeater Group Net on 70 centimetres on VK7RMD. And on Thursdays commencing at 8:30 p.m. local time, the 2-metre DX Net on 144.190 USB. Events. Northwest Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club on February the 1st, the AGM from 1:30 p.m. in the Scout Hall, 73 Alexandra Road, Ulverston. NTARC, February the 12th, AGM and general meeting at the NTARC Club Rooms, Rochelle Scout Hall, Archer Street, Rochelle, commencing at 7:30 p.m. Reist, February the 12th, Reist February Forum Night, How to Interest Family and Friends in Amateur Radio, 7:30 p.m. at the Queen's Domain Club Rooms, and it's also streamed. And Reist, February the 16th, the AGM and barbecue from 11 a.m. Queen's Domain Club Rooms. A reminder to those people rostered for next week's broadcast. Newsreader, VK7PD. Repeaters, Reist, NTARC, and in the Northwest, thanks to NWTRC, WCRG, NWCRRA, VK7AX, VK7JH, and VK7DC. 160 meters, VK7GS. 80 meters, any takers? 40 meters, VK7ALH. 20 meters, VK7JGD, 10 meters, VK7VKT, UHF CB24, VK7FMAC, and on DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector 91 Charlie, VK7HGO. A huge thank you to all people and organizations that assisted with this broadcast. That wraps up this week's edition of the VK7 Amateur Radio News. We hope you found it informative and enjoyable. You've been listening to VK7WI, or if you've just tuned in, you've just missed our live broadcast. But don't worry, you can catch the rebroadcast on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in the north and VK7RHT and UHF CB24 in the south. We encourage you to share your news, stories and updates with us. Email your contributions to the VK7ARnews@gmail.com. For more information about the broadcast and to join in the discussion, visit our VK7 Amateur Radio News Groups.io group. Remember, the deadline for submissions is 2100 hours on the Friday before the Sunday broadcast. Stay tuned for callbacks on the frequency you're currently listening to. Relay stations will use their own call signs during this time. On behalf of the entire VK7 Amateur Radio News team, this is Nick, VK7 Whiskey Whiskey, wishing you 73s. Have a great Australia Day and good DX to all.